Australia overnight. So the New South Wales government, Chris Minns and his government, will relocate Sydney's Rose Hill Racecourse to make way for 25,000 homes. That was in the news during the week in the city's west for Sydney. Not everyone is happy about that, but we need to do something to tackle housing affordability. Also recently, there was the sale of a 17 square metre apartment in Bondi, which sold for $511,000. That's one third the size of a standard AFL goal square and half the size of a standard hotel room. Can you even get a loan for a place that small? Now, to discuss housing affordability and project delivery, which is something which should be on the government agenda, Chris Foster Ramsey, finance and money expert, joins us on Australia Overnight. Hi there, Chris.
Hi, Pat.
That little place in Bondi, tiny, $511,000. What's that saying about the market, and can you get a loan for a small place like that?
Well, it says that someone knows something that we don't in terms of rental return. I mean, it seems that it would rent very well because it was so centrally located to Bondi.
Right.
Now, the other point that you raised there around the ability to get a loan around that, it's probably, to be honest, a little bit small for something that a lender would look at. So you'd need to think of another, probably more creative way to finance something like that.
Right, right. Okay, so a lender won't look at it because it's too small and they won't sort of use it as... surety or the, you know...
Property security, yeah.
Property security, yeah. Right. So maybe if you have some equity in your home or something, you could get the cash out that way. So find another way to get the loan to buy something like that.
That's right, yeah. I mean, you'd have to potentially use a property that you own with sufficient amount of equity and be able to borrow that amount, for your circumstances. But you could certainly do it that way. And then, you know, the added advantage there, I suppose, is that you would have the property such as the one on Bondi, you'd have that as an unencumbered security. So you'd have the title with you without any lending against it. So it could be, you know, the flip side of that is it could be forwarded on or sold on very easily because it's got clear title.
I see. And rental return, is it a clever move, you know? Is it genius? It's a tiny place, but as you say, it's central. It's in Bondi. They're paying, you know, $500,000 odd for it, and someone's going to, with the rents the way they are, they're going to pay a fair sort of rental to be in the heart of Bondi, even though it's half the size of a footy AFL square.
Yeah, look, I think that's, you know, I think that's the location really is the key that we're talking about here. It is very small. You know, certainly my research being that it was half the size of a standard hotel room. So I think it certainly meets the tiny house, tiny home criteria quite well.
Those tiny homes and tiny houses, is that a thing now? Are we looking at, maybe from an investment point of view, if you had $600,000 to invest, would you be going for a tiny home and getting someone to rent it out? Or is that sort of how long's a piece of string type question?
Oh, it's a bit of both. I mean, for me, a property purchase will come down to the location first of all, and the rental return that the location offers, and you know the old rules of sort of real estate apply there, where if it's close to infrastructure and work and shopping and all that sort of stuff, it usually rents pretty well. So it's definitely a property portfolio play in my view. But you know, it just depends on if you're a property investor, how you set your portfolio up. I mean, this particular person has set it up in this way, where you know they've gone for a high rental property and paid top dollar for that. But there are other equally ways to set up your property portfolio.
Got it. Australia Overnight, we're chatting with Chris Foster Ramsey, finance and money expert, about housing affordability. I was listening to Ben Fordham on 2GB on Thursday morning when that story broke, or when he was discussing the story about the New South Wales government relocating Sydney's Rose Hill Racecourse, making way for 25,000 homes. The response was mixed, Chris, where some people weren't happy, others thought it was okay. But I guess on the surface, governments all over Australia need to look at housing and housing affordability, and something has to be done.
Yes, I agree with that. And, I, you know, that every state's got a policy, seems to have a policy around it. I mean, look, you can sort of look in Victoria around what's going on the western side of Port Phillip Bay, around, you know, between the CBD and the Bellarine, the Fisherman's Bend project, you know, which is a rezoning, the Rose Hill Racecourse rezoning. So, I mean, every city and state will have its own version of that, but it certainly is very important that you know, that we don't continue to. I can see the arguments for not continuing to build out, but if that argument then becomes an argument to build more high density and upwards, then I think that, you know, due diligence and consideration needs to be given to the size of those homes so that people can adequately live in them. Right. You know, to a sufficient level of you know, quality of living in a home, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah.
131873 discussing housing affordability. The issue of migration also popped up, Chris. I mean, it's a complex one, isn't it? I mean, we need people to come into the economy, skilled migrants, but where are they going to live? Is that fueling rents? Should we just be stopping migration? Would that help the problem? As you say, are we building up or are we sort of sprawling outwards? It's sort of a bit of a complex sort of issue to and lots of things.
To be honest, Pat, I don't think that anyone's got the answer to it. I don't think that, you know, even academia seems to have you know, a silver bullet and answer to this. I think that it's an ongoing question that needs to be solved bit by bit, and everyone's got a view on it. And I don't think that one answer is particularly correct over another.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the small property, we spoke about that because I was thinking that central, as you said, there's many different ways of working at your portfolio. I don't really have a portfolio, but I'm thinking if I'm going to invest some money, maybe a small property to rent out would be where it sits for me. But I guess you look at what you can invest. And then this thing about interest rates too. I mean, we can't be silly now because we're not sure what's happening. But if you feel like you can cope with repayments, it's maybe still okay to enter the market and make an investment in property.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that, you know, the laws of property will apply every day of the week, no matter what the interest rates are. And I think that, you know, I get that there's certainly some nerves around at the moment about the cost to hold an investment portfolio or even your own home. Mm. You know, it's exceptionally expensive and, you know, compared to what it was. And I think that, you know, the notion of wealth creation is everyone's and home ownership for that matter is you know, everyone's sort of right. I think that, yes, that a lot of people grow up with thinking about that, you know, that's a measure of success is being able to own a home.
Now, you're based in Melbourne and Victoria, is my understanding. What about this talk about the disincentive being created by the Victorian government? Many in property are saying, well, you know, you're putting your hands in the pockets of these aspirational people who are purchasing properties. Why are they being taxed? Why is it being made hard for people who have, you know, one or two sort of rental properties? Do you see your clients saying, look, I'm out, you know, Victoria's just getting too tough and you can't really make a living?
Yeah. It's a hard one. Again, it's, you know, it's part of that, that wider argument, I think, but certainly we do have a number of investors that are selling down their portfolio based on the cost to hold it as probably the predominant purpose, but a secondary purpose around the changes to how it's taxed. So, you know, their view is exactly that. You know, I worked really hard and I've got, you know, one, maybe two investment properties. Why are they coming after me when, you know, there are people with smaller amount of people with a far larger portfolio? Mm. Why me? So, yeah, there's that side of the argument too.
There's been a bit of discussion on the program this morning about the Reserve Bank and the way they sort of, you know, use monetary policy, that it might be a bit old-fashioned and there's other ways to tame inflation. In saying that, inflation did sort of angle downwards last time and it's been put on hold, so maybe part of it's working, or should we be re-looking at how we control inflation? Are the drivers of inflation this time around different and something we've never seen before?
I think the latter. I think the drivers of inflation are different, and I think that You know, in my experience, when rates have gone up and gone down, the effects of those rate announcements haven't really flowed through to the pocket and the economy for sort of anywhere between 60 and 120 days after that announcement. So I was very refreshed to see during the week that those numbers had started to sort of tip. And I think that, you know, that the price of money now and loan repayments now where they are, and what you're potentially paying at the moment, I think that will be very similar for the next sort of, well, I hope no more than 12 months. But, right. You know, I don't see it going up heaps more by any means. I think it seems to be, I'm not an economist, obviously, but it seems to me that the RBA announcements are working.
Australia Overnight, discussing housing affordability with Chris Foster-Ramsey, finance and money expert. That's encouraging, as you say. I mean, economists, it's difficult for economists to agree, and you're not an economist and I'm not, but you work in the finance sector, so you're you know, better placed than I am to make those calls. It's comforting to hear you say maybe we've hit the top of these interest rate changes, and in 2024, even though it might be tough, might start to level out a bit.
Oh, gee, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, if you go back over the data again over the last couple of weeks, it seems that it's very much heading towards a plateau sort of field. I think that, I would hope that things would be similar for the next 12 months.
And we'll see how we go for Christmas spending. I mean, we can relax and enjoy Christmas, can't we, Chris? But I know that that will be part of what the Reserve Bank looks at, I guess, what we do over Christmas.
Yeah, I agree. And anecdotally, I think that, you know, the cash that was saved during COVID by people not being able to go out and on holidays, I think that that's probably coming to a, you know, close to having been spent. I think that that's probably, you know, out of the economy now. I think that this Christmas and the numbers from this Christmas around retail will be very different to what they've been in other years, I would have thought.
I see. So how do they know the amount of savings in the economy? Is there someone out there with a calculator who works out everybody's bank account? And if you've got some money sitting in a savings sort of account, they sort of want to drain that basically, and they know.
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, I don't think it's a matter of, you know, the Reserve Bank's got eyes in the back of his head. I think it's probably a very scientific calculation that's, you know, well and truly above your pay grade and mine. But I think that you know the calculations they make of the amount of money that are being held in cash in the economy, and also which they have a measure on, and also in savings and offset accounts against home loans, they've also measured on that.
Yes, I was going to say that. I heard that they were saying that people are tipping money into the offset accounts, so they sort of know that. So the Reserve Bank's putting their interest rate up, and people are going, well, here you go, here's 20 grand, I'll just lump it in my offset to sort of offset so it's this, you know, this battle, and in the end, I guess the Reserve Bank will win. They'll just keep putting it up until they drain the savings and slow the economy down. So I guess that's it. That's what's happening in a nutshell. They're turning up the heat, and we need to slow down the spending. And until we do that, it won't level off. But it looks like we're getting close.
I think we are. I think we're getting very close. I think we're sort of, you know, within. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, thank you for being part of the show. I know you're a bit of a fan. You listen to is it 3RW, Tony Moclair? Well, he doesn't do overnight. It's Tony McManus and everybody. So good on you for being on the show.
Thank you. I'm a regular listener, and I enjoy the show. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. No worries. Pleasure to have you on Australia Overnight. Chris Foster-Ramsey, finance and money expert on Australia Overnight.